Inside the tiny living room of the cottage, I was ushered to the best chair by the fireside, where two rough logs blazed and crackled.
"Bring cake out for Mr. Harriet, Mother,"
the farmer cried as he rummaged in the pantry. He reappeared with a bottle of whiskey at the same time as his wife bustled in carrying a cake, thickly laid with icing and ornamented with coloured spangles, toboggans and reindeers. Mr. Kirby unscrewed the stopper.
"You know, Mother, we're lucky to have such men as this to come out on a Christmas morning to help us."
"Aye, we are that."
The old lady cut a thick slice of the cake and placed it on a plate by the side of an enormous wedge of Wensleydale cheese. Her husband, meanwhile, was pouring my drink. Yorkshiremen are amateurs with whisky, and there was something delightfully untutored in the way he was sloshing it into the glass, as if it was lemonade. He would have filled it to the brim if I hadn't stopped him. Drink in hand, cake on knee, I looked across at the farmer and his wife, who were sitting in upright kitchen chairs watching me with quiet benevolence. The two faces had something in common, a kind of beauty. You would find faces like that only in the country. Deeply wrinkled and weathered, clear-eyed, alight with a cheerful serenity. I raised my glass. "A happy Christmas to you both." The old couple nodded and replied smilingly.
"And the same to you, Mr. Harriet."
"Aye. And thanks again, lad," said Mr. Kirby. "We're right grateful to you for running out here to save our Dorothy. We've maybe mucked up your day for you, but it would have mucked up ours if we'd lost the old lass, wouldn't it, Mother?"
"Don't worry, you haven't spoiled anything for me," I said. "In fact, you've made me realise again that it really is Christmas." And as I looked round the little room with the decorations hanging from the low-beamed ceiling, I could feel the emotions of last night surging slowly back, a warmth creeping through me that had nothing to do with the whiskey. I took a bite of the cake and followed it with a moist slice of cheese. When I had first come to Yorkshire, I had been aghast when offered this unheard-of combination. But time had brought wisdom, and I had discovered that the mixture, when chewed boldly together, was exquisite. And, strangely, I'd also found that there was nothing more suitable for washing it finally over the tonsils than a draught of raw whiskey.
"You don't mind Wireless, Miss Harriet?"
Mrs. Kirby asked.
"We always like to have it on Christmas morning to wear towed hymns, but I'll turn it off if you like."
"No, please leave it, it sounds grand." I turned to look at the old radio with its chipped wooden veneer, the ornate scrollwork over the worn fabric. It must have been one of the earliest models, and it gave off a tinny sound, but the singing of the church choir was nonetheless sweet. "Hark the herald angels sing," flooding the little room, mingling with the sputter of the logs and the soft voices of the old people. They showed me a picture of their son, who was a policeman over in Hulton, and their daughter, who was married to a neighbouring farmer. They were bringing their grandchildren up for Christmas dinner, as they always did, and Mrs. Kirby opened a box and ran a hand over the long row of crackers. The choir started on Once in Royal David City. I finished my whiskey and put up only feeble resistance as the farmer plied the bottle again. Through the small window I could see the bright berries of a holly tree pushing through their covering of snow. It was really a shame to have to leave here, and it was sadly that I drained my glass for the second time and scooped up the last crumbs of cake and icing from my plate. Mr. Kirby came out with me, and at the gate of the cottage he stopped and held out his hand.
"Thank you, lad. I'm right grateful," he said. "And all the very best to you."
For a moment the rough, dry palm rasped against mine. Then I was in the car, starting the engine. I looked at my watch. It was still only 9:30, but the first early sunshine was sparkling from a sky of palest blue. Beyond the village the road climbed steeply, then curved around the rim of the valley in a wide arc. And it was here that you came suddenly upon the whole great expanse of the Plain of York, spread out almost at your feet. I always slowed down here, and there was always something different to see, but today, the vast checkerboard of fields and farms and woods stood out with a clarity I had never seen before. Maybe it was because this was a holiday, and down there no factory chimney smoked, no lorries belched fumes, but the distance was magically foreshortened in the clear, frosty air, and I felt I could reach out and touch the familiar landmarks far below. I looked back at the enormous white billows and folds of the fells, crowding close one upon another into the blue distance, every crevice uncannily defined, the highest summits glittering where the sun touched them. I could see the village with the Kirby's cottage at the end. I had found Christmas, and peace, and goodwill, and everything back there. Farmers, they were the salt of the earth.